All right, at 8:32, one of my favorite people, Conrad Cox, joining me in studio. Good morning and welcome to Back to High FM.
Thank you, Comrade Feldman. It's very exciting to be here. I love coming here. We have so much fun.
We do.
Because we have thoughts and have opinions and have nuance and shapes I can play. It's cool. Right, I like that. Yeah, you know, often it's just, meh, this is fun.
I know, yeah. So tell me about your, no, we don't do that here. We can't do that here. Cause I get bored. I've got ADD,
Let's go to the world.
Let's talk about the world. So what have you been up to since last we spoke?
Well, you know, I have the show that I was just going overseas and I went overseas.
You were everywhere. You know what? Every time I try to get hold of you, sorry, in Canada.
In Canada, sorry, Australia vibe. So I've been to Australia twice, Canada for like almost 2 months, and sold out shows, 5-star reviews. That was crazy.
Is it true what they say about Canadians? I mean, are they always apologizing? Are they the nicest people in the world?
Yeah, they are actually spectacular.
I know.
It's such a liberal state. You know, the Conservative Party in Australia, in Canada, is called the Progressive Conservatives.
So even the Conservatives are not conservative. Don't worry, we are a progressive conservative.
And the conservative sales pitch is $1 a beer. That's this guy. Remember the guy, Doug Ford? Doug Ford's his brother, but I think Mike Ford. He's the mayor of Toronto, who is like a heroin junkie and all that.
Right.
So his brother, Doug, he's the kind of the premier of that state of Toronto. What's it called? I just made. And his deal was $1 a beer. That's his whole marketing plan. So
I
the
love
world
it.
Is
what is wrong with
so
it?
Progressive. No, it's a really awesome society. I mean, you've seen. Justin Trudeau is their prime minister.
Yes.
He looks like Harry Potter. It's
I know,
crazy.
But he doesn't dance very well, does he?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
And he should stay away from sort of Indian attire because I don't think it
looks.
I don't think it's a look that works for
him. Crazy. What is he doing? Yeah, it's cultural appropriation vibes. But that's what's nice about Canada is they're already aspiring to not be racist. So in their heads they're going, we're trying to not be racist. So that's already part of the deal. Now we can play as opposed to some environments where you're like, nah, you know, I don't know if we're willing to look at ourselves. So that was really great. They're just a bit scared of talking about those vibes, but I guided them through and we had a good time.
I'm always interested in that because it's a real challenge for South African comedians to go overseas because we do have a very specific, I think we've got the most incredible humor here in South Africa. South Africans are properly funny. Just ask Marilise over the last week. And you'll see how funny South Africans were.
Spectacularly funny.
Yeah, and we've
had so much to go through. The way I explain it overseas is, we have to laugh or we'll cry.
Well, it's true.
It's like being a Vodacom customer.
Absolutely right. I mean, we bring people back from the dead.
Yes.
You know,
And then I'm talking about it this weekend. His boss, there's a video, ETA got hold of his boss. His boss was, his name's Brighton. His boss is, Brighton, he's a great guy. Brighton, come back to work, man. And that's South Africa. Guy dies, next day his boss wants him back at work.
Well, because he might as well.
Exactly.
You know what?
He's alive.
Know, take a day to, you know, get used to being in the land of the living again, and they come back to work.
Yeah, it took a finds up.
Right, but it must be quite difficult sometimes to translate our type of humour because the one observation I've made, and I can't tell you really, it probably less so in Canada. Somehow there's still this. I don't know. Maybe there's a British humour, a little bit of influence,
the Commonwealth.
But in North America, they take themselves very, very seriously.
They do,
and they're not as funny as they'd like to think.
They're not. But it's such a diverse place as far as. I don't just mean as far as race, gender. I mean, it's just, you get different opinion vibes. So if you go to Midtown New York, or you go to, the south of Manhattan, to Greenwich or whatever, if you go to the more hipster part of
the hippie vibes,
then suddenly you've got a completely different conversation going down. So, like, the place is so complex that I think you do find places where they totally understand us. I mean, I did shows up in the Bronx where it felt like doing shows at home because the people of color, they understand our experience.
Right.
The white people, they understand. Are more afay with the experience of people who've gone through a hard time. And so you have this interesting conversation. There's so many Jewish people, so the same kind of people who've gone through, but
it's also
struggle.
That type of humor. That's kind of, Jewish humor is kind of a universal thing as well.
Well, they've also, I think we've said this before, but Jewish humor comes from a place of pain and struggle.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
So, and I think South African humor connects in the same kind of way. So
it's an interesting observation.
I found that chiz, that spirit, trying to translate that in Australia was a bit harder, but they're willing willing to talk about it. I mean, land is a conversation they're having in Australia, and they're totally willing to talk about it because it's just it's such an obvious
part. They've also got so much of it that nobody wants.
Yes, that's true.
You know what I mean? They've got the whole center of the country, and they're saying, come, you take it. Let's give it back to the four Aboriginals left or something. So that is a bit...
This is crazy, huge country. But what I'm finding is our conversation, if you know how to pitch it, is so universal. Everybody's talking about the stuff we're talking about how to be a society now, how to reconcile, how to get on with each other.
I would agree with you. I was at a Jewish media summit. Yes, I was at a Jewish media summit in Israel in November, and it was a group of people from around the world. And I came back quite refreshed because I thought, you know, whatever issues we're dealing with here, never mind on the Jewish aspect, on all aspects, in terms of gender and race and understanding, revisiting our past and trying to, everybody's having the same conversations. Exactly. You know, exactly. So
I read that article you just wrote now about state capture and comparing it to Europe and how long it took to rebuild Europe.
Right.
These conversations are happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think if you can just tap into some universal themes, that's really sells. And people just enjoy having fun. So I found what's great is I was just in Australia a couple of weeks ago, got these amazing reviews at Fringe World, it's called in Perth.
Amazing.
And they were going with, it's just crazy. They've got a thing called a tree in Australia called a black boy. That's the name of the tree.
Oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable.
That's
so uncomfortable. The tree's called
is a black
boy.
But it's a Native Australian, it's a Native Australian name. So it's like an Indigenous Australian name, but the funniness is endless. Or they freak out because there are a lot of refugees and so on. So the groups of African kids walking around in Melbourne just because they're there. And then the Australians are not out of cope because they're not used to black people. So they've got a gang. You're like, Australia, it's not a gang. If you meet to France, that's a soccer team. Calm the hell down. And they'll go with it and they'll laugh at themselves. And I think that the world's ready for some serious conversations that South Africa has been having.
Yeah, I think we are schooled at it we've had to be. We had to start having these conversations to some extent before anybody else did, because they could, they had integration, but it was on the surface.
Yeah.
So they never had to have the conversations that we were forced to have from the get-go. How did Chester Missing manage? Does he adapt easily?
He'd need a lot of massages and therapy on the flight. I mean, he spends a lot of time in a suitcase. So flying to Regina. I did shows in Regina. And the sports team, it sounds like it's the Queen's what? This is my Regina.
It's a very royal.
It is a Regina. Well,
yes,
royal Regina.
Right.
But the sports team in Regina's got the Rough Riders. It's not a joke.
No. Please stop saying things like that. There's a family radio show.
Yeah, I know. Hold on.
So Regina's sports team is called the Rough Riders. Oh, welcome back, Sonati.
That's fantastic.
Where have you been?
And it's a condom. You know, we have a condom. That's a condom inside of it.
Right. A condiment.
One part of Electric Love, but he had to spend like 40 hours in a suitcase flying, so he was very annoyed when he arrived.
Right,
but
I would
imagine. He has his own TV show now, so he really needs to calm the hell down.
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah.
And accent wise, he manages.
Oh, totally. We're used to our vibes. You just gotta not talk too fast, and he's sort of, they sort of really went with it. They connected strongly with Chester. It was actually quite weird.
That is. and maybe even a bit creepy.
Yeah.
But right, so tell me what's going on now.
Well, now, I'm bringing Puppet Guy, the show that I've been touring that's developed and grown and bigger and better and global, back to Monte Cassino for another 3 weeks, 27th of March to the 14th of April.
Awesome.
At Peter Tureen's Theater upstairs at the Studio Theater. And, it's so fun. People must come. Bring your family. Anyone 13 and up.
So it's 13 and up. Okay,
13
and
up. It's not crude. But there's it's for adults. It's about politics. And now with a TV show, I've got loads of
people. They're not going to enjoy it under that.
They just won't get it. Yeah.
Right.
There's one or two innuendos. There's one F-bomb, one, where there's a guaranteed place.
So our kids could teach us a thing or two.
Yes, they definitely could. And it's so much fun because, I mean, this thing where I turn someone into a puppet and I do Snapchat on them and a lion mask. I mean, it's pandemonium.
So hold on. So this is from the
27th of March
to
the 14th of April. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because the show has grown so much. It's just playtime for me. I just have so much fun doing it.
So what's fascinating to me is on some level, and I'm not particularly proud of it, but on some level I do miss Jacob Zuma.
Well, Well, you know, anyone who writes anything about politics.
No, because what are you going to write about? Does Cyril Ramaphosa even appear in your show? He can't.
No, he does. Oh, does he? Well, first of all, Jacob Zuma's not gone. He's tweeting.
Oh, he is tweeting, thankfully.
And we have like a million commissions, like three commissions right now set up to deal with his legacy. So I mean, as far as the TV show, no, it's pandemonium. I mean, there's so much going on. Tito Mboweni, why are you going to unbundle Eskom? They've already been unbundled in the names of, what's it? Tony, AJ. Rajesh, and AJ.
I am chatting to Conrad Koch. He is here to talk about his journey as well as his new show that's going to be opening soon. It is 8:42. I'd love to hear from you. 34519 or 0618951019. If there's anything that you want to ask him, don't feel shy, certainly. Time is 8:45. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9. Hi. FM. Alright, if you heard hesitancy, well, it's just because we were taking a selfie. Nothing wrong with that at all.
I love selfies. They're so fun.
Yeah, you know, a friend of mine eventually said his kids were at one of these summer camps, and they were, you know, just sending these WhatsApp pictures back for the 3 weeks that they were there, and eventually he said to them, would you just stop sending me selfies? I know what you look like. Maybe send a picture, you know, of a view of your friends,
guys,
of what's going on.
It's been years. We've been seeing you. I know.
Right,
we're
really
exactly. Self-aware society. It's such a summary of how we are. Hey?
It is, isn't it? And is this universal?
I think it is. I think it is. We've become this this world where we reflect on ourselves way more than we need to. I think it's really good to unplug from social media every now and again and just
do you
actually just read. I try to. Yeah, I delete apps from my phone when I'm not, like, I've got the TV show, so I've got to like just maintain that. And it's research. I mean, you know this.
Right.
I know to follow, and I get more news because everyone's reading news and they post interesting stuff.
Right.
And I get opinions. So I get texture of how people are approaching the news because I've got like I've chosen who I follow.
Right, that's brilliant.
But yeah, but other than that, I delete it because I find that just reading is way, way better. Just go and read a book or go read decent newspapers, you know.
I find
because if you get lost in social media, I think you spend more time. I don't know, I find it very distracting. But I have a kind of ADD vibes.
Yeah, well, welcome to my world. But not only that, is I find that there's so much, I really call it pollution on something like Facebook, where people you'll start reading a post and then they'll say towards the end, now it's taken 30 seconds to read this post, and you said, I was just interested to see who would read the whole post the whole way through. And I actually think, you know what? I like unfriend.
Yeah.
You know, don't. You have just stolen 30 seconds of my time.
What honest, real stuff that's got some depth.
Yeah, that I'll never get back. Yeah. And funny stuff. I'm happy with funny stuff. But that's not funny. That's just irritating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like calling somebody's name and saying, I made you look.
Yeah.
You know, I made you look.
No, social media is full of that. I mean, the whole internet's full of that. That's what clickbait is.
Yes.
That's why I'm cautious about who I follow and which publications I read. So I'll go to, if I'm going to a new country, I know which, and the podcasts, like just podcasts, because then you know, I'm getting this person talking about that amazing topic and they're really going to explode.
And it's
it
focused. You've got 12 minutes or however long it is, and you're going to get an understanding.
Exactly. So I think we just don't use our time effectively, and it's so easy to waste so many hours, especially if you talk to yourself.
Right. Tell me about your
ventriloquist joke.
Right, exactly. It's only you and Chester that understand it. But tell me about your journey in terms of your style and humor. I'm interested now that you've spent a considerable amount of time overseas in the last while.
Yeah.
Do you find, you know, looking at your material now versus then in terms of your style as well, has it changed? Have you evolved?
You know, it's hard. You know, it's, I mean, you know these vibes. Once you've had a little bit of a, you know, the people who value joy the most are the ones who've worked hardest to get it. So, you know, a lot of time where I had a lot of anxiety and stuff, and the last few years, since Late Night News, the TV show, I did a lot of therapy. So my humor's a lot more joyful. It's a lot more about having fun than some kind of making a point.
Are comedians the saddest people in the world?
Yeah, they can be, I think. So I really just having fun. And then what was just beautiful was to connect with the world conversation outside of the echo chamber we live in here in South Africa. So to find other voices and other types of people. They were legalizing weed in Canada when I arrived there. I mean, I did shows in actual, like a room that was a bar, was all that happens there is they don't really drink, they smoke weed. So you got stoned people.
It must be like the gentlest crowd.
It is.
Like
well, they don't laugh, they stare at you.
That's awful.
No, it's good because they're like, they're happy. Yeah. So it's just like really sort of hippie kind of environments that you don't get here. And the contract with yourself. I did a show in this Danger Room in Toronto that the comics heckle you before you go on stage. So this guy, Dan Guiry goes, but they're aggressive. It's tight. And the room is as big as a studio, a tiny room in Toronto. Right. One of the like dopest comedy rooms. And he goes, this is Conrad Koch. He's a white South African. So he's a racist.
Well, there's a way to go.
On stage, yeah. Right. No, it's beautiful. That would never happen here. They're kind of like crazy. And then I'm on stage, you're just going, racist, racist. It's just, this is just delicious. It's
How do you handle it?
Well, this I died.
You just get into
I died.
Did you die?
No, but you couldn't do comedy in that environment. But it was just a cool experience because it was outside of anything that I would go through here. So although it was weird at the time, it was a sort of playful, interesting, discovering new stuff in the world. Going to Regina and doing shows for grannies
Please
that have no
that.
Idea about Africa.
Please stop saying Regina.
It's a place.
I know. I just feel it's unnecessary. I just feel it's uncalled for. You know what I mean?
I know. Clean your mouth out, son. The map makers. But I think as a country, we're also discovering this. We're discovering where, okay, you guys have gone a bit far. Let's find a new territory. And especially post Jacob Zuma, we can have a conversation about where the line is, about who to blame for what's gone wrong, say in our education. 25 years, apartheid did this and then negligence did that. So it's a bit more of a mature conversation we're having now. I don't know if I'm making sense, but for me, in the way I'm writing, I'm finding it clearer. There was a time where I wasn't sure who to punch because for a time, like, colonialism was clearly the biggest problem in the room. But the State Capture Commission and Zondo and stuff, it means that the onus to fix things, 400 million rand in debt at Eskom when our education budget is 200 million, just over. You can start having a serious conversation about how badly South Africa's been managed since apartheid and apartheid. I don't know if that's making sense.
It makes perfect sense. And in fact, it's quite interesting because the way in which I see it is during the Zuma period, people behaved, and we all did, actually quite poorly in the sense that we were hooligans in terms of our writing, in terms of our humor, in terms of our style. Look what went on in Parliament with the EFF, not allowing him to speak, etc. There was that kind of, we were being treated like children and we behaved like children because we didn't know really what was going on. Now that everything is more open and we're seeing and understanding what's gone on, how serious it is, we're actually starting to grapple with some of the real issues and we know our facts about Eskom and how much money was spent and the power wastage and what they should have achieved. So we've actually got access to information that's made us a little bit more responsible. And what I've noticed is a shift in style away from that type of hooliganism, and I don't mean it in a negative way because it was needed, to something of a little bit more maturity. Would you agree with that?
Totally. I mean, I think one thing Jacob Zuma gave us was a more engaged citizenry. So we all have a reason to engage with our politics and the story of South Africa and what's going on and how much they spent at this commission and how much that's SOE. How many of us knew how many SOEs were doing okay in Denel and stuff before? Now we're having serious conversations about it. The only danger I think that happens is we can forget about how much the legacy. Say we're working a piece this weekend on healthcare in South Africa, and the private hospitals. There are 200 private hospitals in South Africa. There are 400 public hospitals. Remembering that private hospitals are 16% of the population.
Wow, that tells you a story.
Yeah, and so apartheid legacy has not gone away. So the only danger is where we blame all our problems on Jacob Zuma and not realize that because you can win the argument far faster if you can go, no, Didi Mabuza, you're wrong. The power stopped being developed and Eskom stopped building capacity 10 years ago. You built, but you didn't increase capacity. That's literally 200, whatever the thing is. So we can go, yes, apartheid only gave electricity to 3 dudes in Ventersdorp and now 84% of the country has it. That doesn't mean it didn't screw up. So the accountability and who to blame is much clearer now because we know the facts better. And the Zondo Commission, I mean, you know, when you're getting bribed with chicken pieces, You know, you've kind of sold out the revolution a little bit.
At least stick to those Louis Vuitton bags packed with
exactly,
cash.
Exactly. It's Louis Vuitton bags packed with cash. I love, did you see that video? It was pandemonium.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
Well, we did a segment on the show last week where I asked our marketing expert, is this good for or bad for the Louis Vuitton brand? What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I was, I also thought this, wow, you're the bag of, oh, that's what people are saying. Who dares take a Louis Vuitton bag to
anyway,
State of the Nation?
You dare not. You dare not.
Oh, no, it's good for that brand.
It's got to be
on.
Good because
there
it's the ultimate,
the
isn't
ultimate
it?
Dictator bag. You know how you roll.
It's true that there's
Grace
not a self,
Garvey vibes.
There's not a self-respecting dictator in the world that doesn't have a collection
no,
of Louis Vuitton.
And
surely.
Louis Vuitton, that's what you want to go
right.
with. Of course, man.
Yeah,
you're balling like, what's it, like knockers, you know? It's
indeed. So, tell us a little bit about the show.
The show's developed with a lot more political content mm-hmm. than it did in the last run. It's still got the playful attributes. Plus I've added material about the amazing politics I learned about in Australia and
ooh,
Canada. It's really, yeah, it's very interesting. And then of course South Africa right now. I mean, we got a TV show every week, ETV and ENCA, 8:30, it's at 10:30 on ETV tonight.
Right.
And, 7:30 on ENCA on Sundays, so it's the same episode.
Right.
Like tonight we're discussing land, and we go all in explaining how the budget for land is 2.7 billion a year, but the budget for private security for ministers is 2.9 billion.
Wow.
So they
wow.
didn't,
oh,
nobody cares about land, stop lying. Nobody
it is
cares.
Unbelievable.
Yes, no, it's unbelievable.
Oh, so that's 10:30 tonight on?
And on ETV.
Right.
And then I interview Marcello Cocco, who is of course that, you know, this guy who was the CEO of Eskom, and we just it was crazy because Chester can get away with going, but seriously, how are you going to cope in prison?
No.
Yeah, no, really, how you mean? And then you go, then he's like, no, there's loads, the state capture's a myth. And like, it's just what's it like living in alternative reality? Because he doesn't have to take you seriously. And he was pretty gregarious about it. It was fun, but we could really
go there.
Do you
still find that because Chester's asking the questions?
Totally.
What's wrong with us?
Anything can be said. Anything. And they'll go with it. I've got Claudia Motsenenga in there. It was bananas. And people will go with it. I think a lot of our politicians also just need a license to have fun. And we tend to have quite gregarious fun politicians as opposed to the UK.
You see, I love that. Yes, when they take themselves very, very seriously.
Yeah,
does Chester ever, you know, we had Angelo Grisi in studio.
Yeah, I saw that. That must have been crazy.
Crazy, crazy.
They're doing the media circuit. It's like, dude, what are you
doing? Doing the media circuit. This is the only place he was interviewed,
okay. Wow,
which
wow.
is,
skills.
Which is quite
skills.
Incredible.
Skills.
But, that said, you know, obviously you worry about, or I would imagine he worries about his own security. Do you worry about Chester's?
Well, he's made out of rubber, so they'll bounce off. I mean, he's only been mugged by one guy. His name's Dan Ruert. So, so he's fine.
So you don't really worry for his safety?
I don't, and he's insured.
You know what? Wow.
It's annoying
imagine
how famous
if he was sensitive. Actually.
No, he doesn't care.
Doesn't he?
He's literally made sensitive. Out of latex. He's the stuff they use to stop
always
HIV.
Always rough riders, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Right, always
exactly.
That.
Always, yeah, try to be dirty as possible. But it does get crazy trying to keep up with the pace of the news. I've been trying to explain the Mkhoro with Jiba and Mkhwebi, and guys.
That's impossible. My attitude is you've got to pick one inquiry and just stick with it.
Yeah.
Because you can't do everything. It's like, it's like going to university and thinking you can do a BA, a BSc, and occupational therapy all at the same time. You can't. You can't. You just got to pick one of them. So pick one of your inquiries and just follow
run with that.
That
one. Yeah. I think that's kind of really, I try to analyze the DA manifesto and I just,
really?
I died of boredom.
Yeah.
They're saying we want a job in every home, which makes it sound
which
like they,
nice.
Well, it makes it sound like they want people to do domestic workers.
Yeah. Could Chester be the official political analyst for Chai FM for the elections?
But they've got Howard. You don't need Chester.
No, I think you're more.
They have the same haircut.
Wow. That is so rude. You know, I'm not made of rubber, all I might. Look like it from time to time, but wow! Can you imagine if I was sensitive? All right, Neil says, Howard, you're good at a lot of things, but you're very controversial about the East Rand. I don't want. In what sense? What are they saying, Zanati?
I'm not involved.
Don't point fingers. We've been to the East Rand. We know what happens there.
I've driven through it. I actually ran a run. It was like a 10K run on the East Rand. I didn't realize it was East Rand until we got there. And then as we were running, somebody ran up to me. It was like an 80-something-year-old guy who actually was overtaking me. And he said, you know, see how many are Feltman?
For real.
I said, who wants to know? I'm in the East Rand. I'm running on my own. Like literally, wherever you look, it's actually a terrible place, because I always think that people aren't healthy there, because you run past oncology units and I don't know. There's a lot of that stuff. Hospice oncology. I don't know what it is. Anyway, and I say, yo, how do you know? He says, you know, funny courant. So, I said, all right. Funny. And then he says, is he a Bura? Is he a Bura? I said, no, felt, not. Feltman with a V, maybe. Yeah. So I said, no, it's a yurt. So he says, a Bura yurt.
Wow.
Anyway, so then he carried on running. Thank goodness, you know, by that stage, you know, I'm not an athlete. But, yeah, so the East Rand does scare me a little bit, as do people from
It's a great place for comedy. I find people I very imagine. Down to earth and real, and they tend to know what's going on in the country, you know.
Well, they have
a bit
to.
More than this. Yeah, they do have to. That's what's, it's class vibes. And then it goes most to Santon, where they sometimes, you know, they'll know more.
They're above that sort of thing.
Yeah, they totally.
Yeah, they say about the East Rand, if you were to choose a place to die, it should be in the East Rand. Because then the transition from life to death is hardly noticeable. Conrad Koch, thank you as always.
You got jokes. Don't go running in the East Rand again. They will clap you stuck in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Come see my show.
Yes, I was just going to say, final plug for your show.
27th of March, 14th of April. It's called Puppet Guy. It's at Monte Cassino, Peter Turin's Theatre. Book at CompuTicket, Amandla.
I will certainly see you there. It is 9 o'clock. I hope you enjoyed, and we look forward to seeing you same time, same place tomorrow, 6 a.m. Don't be late. Here's your news with Sanati.